Good evening. For WBAI News in New York, I'm Linda Perry with some of the news for Monday, January 9th, 2017. In his State of the State speech in Lower Manhattan today, Governor Cuomo made a huge announcement affecting the safety of New Yorkers. A deal has been reached to close the troubled Indian Point nuclear reactors. Here is that section of the governor's speech delivered today.
We will protect our environment because we believe in the Native American proverb that said we did not inherit the land from our parents, but we are borrowing it from our children. We will invest a record amount in our Environmental Protection Fund, develop offshore wind power, and lower the RGGI emission caps by 30% by the year 2030. And we will take bold steps to make us safer. New York City sits 30 miles from a ticking time bomb, the Indian Point nuclear power plant. Nuclear power can be a useful bridge as we transition to renewables, there is no doubt. But Indian Point is located in the most densely populated area of our state and in the most densely populated area on the globe. There is no other nuclear power plant closer to as densely a populated area. God forbid there's an accident. Evacuation of this region would be all but impossible. I've been there many times to the plant to review operational issues, and there have been many operational issues. I've personally been trying to close it down for 15 years. Finally, this year, I'm proud to announce that we have an agreement. Indian Point will close in 4 years, 14 years ahead of schedule. It will close at no cost to the state. Our plan identifies sources of replacement power and transitions workers to new jobs. This agreement eliminates a major risk, provides welcome relief. New Yorkers can sleep a little better.
Indian Point produces 2,000 megawatts of electrical power, about a quarter of the power used in New York City and Westchester. The governor says the state will be able to make up for the lost electricity once the plant shuts down in 2021. He says transmission upgrades and efficiency measures equaling more than 700 megawatts are already in service. He says other generation resources are ready to come online by 2021 and will help generate more than enough electrical power to replace Indian Point's capacity. Activists have been saying all along that the electrical power from Indian Point is unnecessary.
He's been working for that for a long time, and he finally did it.
WBAI's Rebecca Miles spoke with Marilyn Ellie from the Indian Point Safe Energy Coalition, which has been fighting for the plant's closure for decades.
Just to begin with, I wanted to get your reaction to the announcement to made today by Governor Cuomo about Indian Point.
Well, I'm really happy about that. It's good that he could work it out. In his State of the State address, I did hear that, and he didn't have a lot of details, but he's been working for that for a long time, and he finally did it.
Yes, and I know that you've been fighting for this for a long time. How many decades is it?
It's 22 years, actually. I was thinking about that and looking back. In fact, he said he'd been working to close it for 15 years, and I thought, aha, I have a few years on there.
And what about between then and now? Certainly at the end, we saw that the governor got on board. There were a lot of nonprofit organizations, Riverkeeper, I'm thinking about. I know your group was involved. Who came on the sort of latter end on it. Do you think that the pressure to do something about the plant took on extra urgency when the Fukushima Daiichi plant ran into problems after the tsunami. And then, of course, this geology report about the seismic conditions under near to the plant. Do you think those combinations made the push to have the plant close more urgent?
Well, Rebecca, I would like to think that. And in a reasonable world, it certainly would. I'm not sure that we live in a reasonable world. I think underneath all of that is money. And it just became uneconomical for Entergy to run the plant. My understanding is that they wanted certainty for their stockholders, their shareholders. And the future looks very bleak. The baffle bolts that kept them shut down in one unit, I think it was unit two, for almost 4 months. And that was very expensive. They had no money coming in during that time from that unit. And they're not making what they used to from those two plants because of the cheap price of electricity. The wholesale price of electricity has fallen by almost 50% over the past, 5 years. So they're not making the money. They have a lot of aggravation. Every time they turn around, there are street demonstrations and people waving signs, which is not pleasant. And they have gotten a lot of bad press, which they really deserve. And their whole campaign has been based on a lie that we supply 25% of the electricity, which they don't, So I guess maybe all those things came together. But I had the money been the same, I think they would have just rolled with it and kept on going and kept their lawyers in court.
Right.
So, it's hard to tease out all the different things, and they don't exactly call and talk to me. So, I don't know what went into their corporate boardroom discussions and things, but I am quite sure that Attorney General Schneiderman had played a big role in their discussion because he has been really accurate and fierce.
Marilyn Ellie with the Indian Point Safe Energy Coalition. She spoke with WBAI's Rebecca Miles. What the governor says the state will do is being couched in what he calls the New York Promise Agenda, a promise to eliminate the wage gap, to expand opportunities for immigrants and combat hate crimes and encourage tolerance, and a promise to reform criminal justice across the state.
We will be the state of law and order, but also the state of compassion and common sense. We will work to improve the justice system and end racial and resource inequities. We will propose groundbreaking reforms. We will videotape interrogations, improve fairness in lineups, and raise the age of criminal liability from 16 to 18. We will reform our bail system to weigh the public safety risk posed by an individual, because we accomplish absolutely nothing locking up people for years who pose no threat to the public, who even haven't had the right to a trial. We will honor the promise of a speedy trial because Rikers Island is an insult to Lady Justice.
However, neither the governor nor Mayor de Blasio reacting to the governor about Rikers pushed to close down the facility. De Blasio.
The governor made a glancing reference to Rikers Island. I wasn't sure what to make of that. We feel very good about the reforms that are in place. We've been working very closely with the federal monitor, as you know, and I think the pace of reform at Rikers is strong. My reminder to everyone, beyond Rikers, are the other jails in our correction system. All of them are going through a process of culture change, different ways of recruiting officers, training them, a lot more checks and balances, a lot more of the reforms that Commissioner Pont has put in place to reduce violence, reduce the flow of weapons and contraband. All of this is happening. and I think it's happening very well. So, again, though, I didn't hear anything specific in the speech. We're going to continue working on the plan that we have right now.
Bronx DA Darcell Clark, who has opened a new prosecution bureau at Rikers, is applauding the governor's reforms. Today, she released a statement saying she looks forward to examining in detail all the proposals, including sensible improvements to the speedy trial statute. And you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York. It's now day 9 of a hunger strike underway in Puerto Rico, calling on President Obama to grant executive clemency for Puerto Rican political prisoner Oscar Lopez Rivera. Olga Sanabria Davila, president of the Committee for Puerto Rico at the United Nations, says for Puerto Ricans on the island and throughout the world, the 71-year-old independence fighter is a hero and a patriot. Last year, during a news conference in Puerto Rico, former presidential candidate Bernie Sanders called for Oscar Lopez's release. This month, his organization, Our Revolution, released a video. It brings the message to the White House.
Probably all of you are concerned about Oscar Lopez Rivera. He is one of the longest-serving political prisoners in history. He has been in prison now for more than 34 years, longer than Nelson Mandela. I say to President Obama, let him out.
Meanwhile, in San Juan, Olga Sanabria says she will continue her fast for Oscar's release until January 20th. That's when Obama leaves office. WBAI's Sally O'Brien has more.
As the end of Barack Obama's presidency draws near, the White House has received many petitions for clemency for incarcerated men and women nationwide. Last year, Obama pardoned 82 federal inmates and commuted the sentences of 153 others. And according to the Justice Department website, the president has granted 148 presidential pardons in his time in office and shortened the sentences of 1,177 people, of which 395 were life sentences. And, reports CBS, most of the pardons have been for drug offenders. With less than 2 weeks remaining, Obama is planning at least one more batch of pardons and commutations, and there are some high-profile name requests like Chelsea Manning and Edward Snowden, both of whom made public classified government documents. In October, Harlem acupuncturist and black liberation fighter Dr. Mutulu Shakur also applied for executive clemency. Shakur has served more than 30 years for acts related to the struggle for justice and human rights in black communities throughout America. His petition states in part, the acts of which Dr. Shakur stands convicted were committed in the context of a movement some 40 to 50 years ago, seeking equal treatment of black people who it is widely recognized today were suffering catastrophically from disenfranchisement, poverty, and exclusion from many of the fundamental necessities that make life worth living. Despite being a model prisoner, Mutulu Shakur has been denied parole 8 times. And then there's the case of Native American political prisoner Leonard Peltier, who spent over 41 years in prison. Supporters believe the Native American activist was wrongly convicted in 1977 for the deaths of 2 FBI agents during a battle on the Pine Ridge Reservation. Peltier, now 71, has the support of Amnesty International and other human rights organizations. Over 50 members of Congress and others, including Judge Gerald Haney, who sat as a member of the court in 2 of Peltier's appeals, have all called for his immediate release. And last month, former U.S. Attorney James H. Reynolds, who supervised the prosecution and appeals in this case, wrote a letter to President Obama supporting Peltier's clemency bid. Citing evidence of government misconduct, Reynolds stated that clemency is, quote, in the best interest of justice in considering the totality of all matters involved. One clemency bid that's gained international support is that of Puerto Rican political prisoner Oscar Lopez Rivera. His petition has garnered over 100,000 signatures, a video from Bernie Sanders' Our Revolution, the support of 10 Nobel Peace Prize winners, including Jimmy Carter, Desmond Tutu, and the late Coretta Scott King, and calls from the AFL-CIO and human rights organizations worldwide. And since January 1st, President of the Committee for Puerto Rico at the United Nations, Olga Sanabria Davila, is continuing her hunger strike, demanding Oscar's release.
I began this hunger strike because I really felt such indignation regarding the fact that there's such uncertainty. The demand for the release of Oscar Lopez Rivera has been going on for decades, and in particular, during the last 8 years, this is a demand that's being made of President Obama. And to not know whether or not he is going to release at right now 12 days before he leaves office, you know, really makes me feel very indignant. And I feel that the uncertainty is also an uncertainty that's very much affecting the people of Puerto Rico, where there's a broad, broad consensus almost in favor of his release, which this consensus and this call in Puerto Rico encompasses all the political sectors, and it includes social organizations, civil society, the religious sector. So it's really quite scandalous, actually, that it's still unknown what's going to happen as the Obama presidency draws to a close.
Olga Sanabria sees her hunger strike as a contribution to a worldwide effort.
Most recent resolution on the issue of Puerto Rico called on the President of the United States to release Oscar Lopez Rivera and said that this should be done without further delay. And also in that same paragraph of the resolution mentioned Oscar Lopez by name, also mentioned his age at that time, and also mentioned that he has been in prison for 34 years, and also that this is a humanitarian case. So with all this support internationally in the United States, and in particular in Puerto Rico, I felt that I should contribute to the intensification of the campaign at this crucial moment.
Oscar Lopez Rivera has become a symbol, she says, of principles, perseverance, and dignity.
He is a person that has not lost his hope. He has never lost his dignity. He's been in prison for 35 years. He is a model prisoner. He gives classes, including art classes, to fellow prisoners. He does exercise every day. He takes care of his diet. He became a vegetarian, which is very difficult in prison. So this is an example to the Puerto Rican people and beyond of integrity and dignity and strength, as I said before. And if you take into account the world we're living in, which is a world of images and half-truths and facades, which also take place in Puerto Rico, this is an example for everyone, really, but especially to the Puerto Rican people. And it's an example that projects throughout the world. It's also an example that's comparable to Nelson Mandela, except that Oscar Lopez Rivera has been in prison now for almost 10 years above what Nelson Mandela served.
January 6th, Three Kings Day, was also Oscar Lopez's 73rd birthday. Olga Sanabria sent him a message.
Happy birthday, Oscar. As I begin my sixth day of hunger strike, I am nourished by your example and the optimism in that the great wish of Puerto Rico of having you home will be fulfilled before January 20th, despite the cruel uncertainty. Todo por Oscar, Oscar en casa ya.
Olga Sanabria Davila is president of the Committee for Puerto Rico at the United Nations. She concluded her remarks by urging everyone to step up the effort.
There are ways that everyone can contribute to this campaign. We're calling on people who in the past called for Oscar Lopez's release, personalities, organizations, everyone, to do it again during this crucial time, and those who haven't, to also do it now. You can put up banners in your home, you can make phone calls, you can send letters, and especially the visual aspect of the campaign. To give Oscar Lopez Rivera and the campaign for his release presence, this is a crucial moment.
Insiders at the White House have stated that President Obama views clemency as, quote, a tool to promote policy goals, particularly in reduction of prison population overburdened by, quote, unjust and outdated prison sentences. Nevertheless, Oscar Lopez's family and supporters remain optimistic that finally Oscar may just be coming home. With thanks to Roger Drew, I'm Sally O'Brien, WBAI News, New York.
And you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York. In other news relating to the Golden Globes, the 74th annual ceremony was broadcast to over 20 million viewers, and there was a strong departure in the Golden Globes to the Oscars So White controversy during the awards season a year ago. WBAI's Mike Sargent has more.
For the Golden Globes, this has been one of the most diverse list of winners ever, and the diversity of the ceremony wasn't limited to race alone. Nominees included Ruth Negga for Loving, Mahershala Ali for Moonlight, Octavia Spencer for Hidden Figures, Thandie Newton for Westworld, Anthony Anderson for Blackish, Issa Rae for Insecure, and Kerry Washington for Confirmation. The Best Supporting Actress Award went to Viola Davis for her role in Fences.
Thank you to all wonderful actors and Fences, Michael T., Stephen, Russell, Jovan, Sanaya, Denzel, you know, I'm a friend and a fan. Thank you for being an extraordinary leader, great actor, great director. Thank you for saying trust me and remember the love. And my beautiful husband, my daughter, Genesis, loves of my life. And to the original Troy, my father, Dan Davis, born in 1936, groomed horses, had a fifth grade education, didn't know how to read until he was 15. But you know what? He had a story, and it deserved to be told, and August Wilson told it.
Tracy Ellis Ross, the daughter of singer-actress Diana Ross, won Best Supporting Actress in a television series musical or comedy for her work on Blackish and dedicated her win to colorful people.
This is for all of the women, women of color, and colorful people whose stories, ideas, thoughts are not always considered worthy and valid and important, but I want you to know that I see you, we see you. It is an honor to be on this show, Blackish, to continue expanding the way we are seen and known, and to show the magic and the beauty and the sameness of a story and stories that are outside of where the industry usually looks.
The TV show Atlanta won in the category of Best Television Series, Musical or Comedy. Atlanta is the comedy-drama television series created by and starring Donald Glover. The series is about two cousins navigating their way through the Atlanta rap scene in an effort to improve their lives and the lives of their families. Glover, while accepting the Golden Globe for his hit show, had this to say.
And I really just want to thank, Atlanta and all the, like, Black folks in Atlanta, like, for real, like, just for being alive and doing just amazing and being amazing people. I couldn't be here without Atlanta. Like, thanks to everyone, and thanks so much for this. We really appreciate it. We didn't think anybody was going to like this show, so we appreciate it. Thanks.
The People vs. O.J. Simpson, an American crime story, won the Best Limited Television Series or Motion Picture Made for Television and earned noms for African-American actors Courtney B. Vance and Sterling K. Brown for Best Actor and Best Supporting Actor, respectively. I'm Mike Sargent for WBAI News.
And that's the WBAI Evening News for Monday, January 9th, 2017. The news was produced with Rebecca Miles, Sally O'Brien, Mike Sargent, and Reggie Johnson. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.